It's good to be with you this evening again. Always great to be back at Weisbach. Well, that's the way I would pronounce my name, Rickenbach. And I realize that you folk have always pronounced it Weisbach. So it's not a, not a difficulty for us to realize over the years and so forth that our name has been pronounced Rickenbach just over and over and over again. So we appreciate the Lord's presence through this day. Jesus saves, the songwriter penned those words from a personal experience. Just before we came back from Guatemala to the States, there was a lady that we had been endeavoring to find for about a year and a half. She just kind of gone off the radar for us. Working with her, met her at a chiropractor's office. The only American chiropractor in Guatemala, only one of two licensed chiropractors. If any of you have need chiropractic care, don't come to Guatemala. My wife is there first time for 7 years, 4 years at a stint, and we just didn't have anybody to help her. But this young lady we met, and she'd come from an abused background. And God allowed my wife to be able to visit with her and share with her. And she was getting spiritual help, and then she left our lives for a while. And she and her husband separated. And then the night before we were to take the plane back, God opened the door for us to find her. Praise the Lord. And there at Burger King, she gave her heart to Jesus again. So doesn't make any difference to the Lord where he may find a person in need. Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Jesus saves. A little boy that goes to our school, there, our academy, he's from a Catholic home. His great-grandmother had sent her son to our first academy there. And for different reasons, it closed back in the 50s. But now little Juan Diego, he was going to the new school. And still steeped in their Catholic background. But he tugged on my wife's sleeve the other day, a couple months ago, and said, "You know, I pray every night at my bedside. And I pray to Jesus." Praise the Lord. So God is having impact on young, on old, on those that have been raised in different cultures, different religions. Jesus saves. Praise the Lord. Don't ever forget tonight that the same one who came knocking on your door is wanting to work through your life to save others. But he's the one that must save. Praise the Lord. And the load does get heavy. We get weary in the battle. I mentioned to Brother Ziegler's father, you know, we were talking a little bit and getting acquainted, and he was mentioning it, you get weary in the battle. And that's so true. In fact, we can get weary in doing deputation. We slipped into our bed last night, and after coming back from Ohio, it was late, and we realized that that was about the 16th bed that we slept in 21 days. So it gets a little old after a while. But thank the Lord for His safety, His watch care, His protection. Many of you have tonight in your hands two prayer cards. One, a very familiar card that I hope that you'll at least put on the fridge or somewhere to remind you to pray for us daily, or as God brings us to your mind. The other one's a little different. It's a prayer day card. And we're living in the hour of 666. It's all around us. We see the mark of the Antichrist in so many areas. And yet it doesn't seem to stir the church, really. Become kind of commonplace. In fact, the world kind of boasts of it, makes fun of it. That's something mentioned in Book of Revelation and so forth. But we know, as John said back in the first century, that he is even in the world. So if he was in the world as far as him moving and penetrating cultures and societies, how much more now, 2010? Yes, he is. But the Holy Spirit, who is greater in us than he that is in the world, is also working. And so this is a card to encourage you to pray. If for no other time during the month, we have here for the seven countries of Central America on the seventh day of every month, at the seventh hour, either in the morning or the evening, to focus on these seven countries and the little land bridge of Central America between North and South America. The red is Guatemala. Pray for missionaries, Bible institutes, the bilingual academies, clinic, radio stations, national churches, which between Guatemala and Honduras is over 230 organized churches. And we're not sure how many preaching points, how many little places that they are preaching every week, starting a little group. They may become a church eventually. Two of those preaching points right in the town of Jalapa, 90,000, now are an organized church. We have four churches in Jalapa. Just recently, two more churches started in a little town south of us in Monjas, where the Rifes had done a lot of work earlier, and you may have heard of Monjas various times. The people shared about the work in Guatemala here. But these preaching points have a purpose in starting a group of people to have their own church. And there's probably at least 700 or more between Guatemala and Honduras, between the two countries combined. People are reaching out. You know, it'd be wonderful if there was about 50 more holiness churches here in this county. Oh, yes. Do you think that would cover everybody, Brother Zabel? I don't think so. How many Baptist churches are in this county? How many Methodists? How many Lutheran? I don't know. But if this is the message we believe that Jesus came to live and die for, and if we believe this is the message He shed His precious blood for, Jesus does save. And He wants others to hear this wonderful message as well. So it's a time of growth. It's a time of expansion. And yet it's also a time of great battles. As you have followed the school and the ministry there that James and Rachel helped to start back in 2007, third year now, 27 students, national director and national teachers, and God speaking to the hearts of other nationals that they might come and train. And that's another part of the facet of that ministry, is to train national teachers to go and share this ministry in other areas. Start other schools. Schools where they don't hardly learn how to read and write in Spanish. Schools up in the mountains where they may only meet in a classroom half the school year. Where teachers come drunk and students are very fearful of even going to school. God has something for this generation that we shared with our children, Christian education, that we have a conviction and a passion that they might have the privilege that our children have had, and many of you as well. Yes, God is working there. Yes, God is moving. But let courage, as a songwriter pen those words, let courage rise with danger. Tonight, if I would share three verses with you, it would be found in the book of Joshua. Joshua is going into the promised land, and you know the story well, as God is sharing with him and encouraging him, and he's speaking directly to Joshua. It tells us here that the Lord spake unto Joshua in chapter 1, verse 1. This is God's personal testimony to Joshua. He's saying to him three times, be strong and very courageous. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. These six nations in Central America represent a nucleus of people that God is wanting to use to spread the gospel not only in Latin America as our Bible Institute that I led for several years and now has a national director, that Bible Institute is sending materials up to the states to help pastors train and Christian workers train in New Jersey, in Massachusetts, Connecticut. We thank the Lord for that. Our school is sending materials down to Bolivia to help Brother Sanchez, who is from Guatemala, as he is working in his Bible Institute there and need an umbrella for materials. We send materials to Honduras. And so we're fulfilling the Great Commission right there, even in Jalapa, sending forth people to teach in these areas. As I go, as one of my fellow workers go, Misael Galvez, to the States, to Costa Rica, to Honduras, and around Guatemala, and as others go, and as God is raising up young men and women, even in Central America, to go to the Middle East, an amazing phenomena right now. God's speaking to young people to go from there to the Middle East with the gospel message. Because of their stature, because of their cultural background, they blend in far better than I would. We as Americans are marked. We're not wanted in many areas. They can slip in. They can go underneath the cover of an agency, of an international group, and they can minister. And they are ministering tonight. Over 150 Latin American young people are going, singles, ministering among the Muslim nations. My son just recently came from a conference. And he was there in Egypt for 6 months, recognized so many of the similarities between the cultures. And one of the burdens of his heart is to train young people, even from our group, to go to the Middle East, go to the Muslim nations. And there are Muslims everywhere in Central America. They are permeating the world, over 1 billion. God has new and exciting facets that are opening up that we never thought were possible before. But what God is saying to Joshua is, be strong and of a good courage. There are things that you're facing right here in this area that only God can break through. I'm convinced of that. There are holds and grips that Satan has on the souls of men that only God, because only God could break through on my poor soul when I was lost and undone and bound in sin. If I could jerk a map down tonight and show you the whole world, just as you see a little inset here on this prayer card, if you could see the whole geographical world, you would see over two-thirds of the world tonight in darkness. In darkness. Absolutely. How many of you, this is going to date us, isn't it? How many of you remember the old shelters for the nuclear shelters that they trained us in school to go into because of the Cold War? Fallout shelters, that's what they were called. Some of you remember those. And we'd go into town and you'd see these signs up there, and if Nikita pushed the button and sent his missiles over, that's where you're supposed to go. It is very real to us as children. And I remember seeing maps showing that communism had taken over two-thirds of the land area of the world. And I thought, we were going to be next. We might be anyway. But friends, we're living in no less of a day in which we must be decisive about our Christian witness. If we felt back there that our freedoms were at stake, how much more tonight are the freedoms that we have spiritually at stake in proclaiming this wonderful gospel message? If we felt like we had a foe before that was visible and moving with great strength and seemingly no opposition in certain areas, such as even Latin America, and now there's countries like Ecuador and there's Now, of course, Bolivia and Venezuela and almost Honduras went into that camp, along with the Castro brothers in Cuba. And it just seems like one nation after another is going left. Guatemala is going left. Right next door, El Salvador is going left. Nicaragua voted in the Sandinistas. Folks, there's still a battle politically, philosophically, for the minds of men against this wicked mindset of enslaving people under dictatorial socialism. But there's a far greater danger tonight, and that is that the souls of men are slipping into eternity without the message of salvation. You've heard of movements in different countries. I talk about how many churches, how many conversions we have. I talk about great camp meetings. But we still have over two-thirds of the world to reach for Jesus Christ. And if God said that He was going to send His Son when this gospel had been preached to all nations, that is not indicating, I realize, that all nations are going to be saved. But there's still a tremendous number who do not even have it in their own language. Though there's been great effort by Wycliffe and others to put it in their language, there's still a tremendous work to be done. What about 1/7 of the world that, according to their and other statistics, are Muslims? Who's going to go? What about the rest of Latin America that's still in the grip of Roman Catholicism? And we're just starting to make a dent in Guatemala, just starting to make a dent in Honduras against this that has been there for hundreds of years. Do you think there's not a need tonight of sending forth laborers? I believe there is. Let courage rise with danger. You start a school anywhere and you're going to face opposition. You start a Christian school, a bilingual school, as happened in 2007, and as you know, there was robbery and there was fire and there was dangers from within and dangers from without and facing all sorts of things, and it just seems like every quarter, every two or three months, there's something else that we're facing to endeavoring to shut that school down. But let courage rise with danger. Last couple years, nearly got swept out into the Caribbean in a flood, came up suddenly down the coast. God saved us, protected us, and three young men with me. The little wheels of that little Toyota car had lost traction two or three times as I was going down that road, heading toward high ground, just a flood of water in front of me. I had no markers on either side, but God took us through. It's a miracle. Nearly lost my life in the Capitol. It was a fellow that was evidently in the drug gangs and was shot there in front of me, and an errant bullet just struck the post of the door. Thank the Lord. Group of men endeavored to cut down my son and his wife on the way to the Capitol. Shots went astray. Let courage rise with danger. Thank the Lord. God is still calling because it's His work. And we're only safe under the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there not a cause, David said to his brothers? Is there not something that's still worth fighting for? Sometimes you wonder. Seems like the level of patriotism in our country is at a new low. But I still love America. Yes, and she's still worth fighting for. But there's a kingdom that's far more worth fighting for tonight. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Whether it be in Bible school work, whether it be in the academies, whether it be helping our young couples. We're senior citizens now down there. Thank the Lord for every one of our young couples is serving. The Roberts, the Meltons, there in Honduras. McDowell's down in Costa Rica. I'm regional coordinator, so it's my job to visit those stations, my job to encourage them, as well as my son and his wife and Maria, laboring faithfully there in Guatemala. And I sense from time to time it's wavering. You know, is it worth going on? You know, Brother Lee, is it worth putting our energies into? Is it worth really coming up against these things? And things just continue to try to shut things down, and all of the litigation and all the government interference, and then things that happen within the national churches. And yes, it is. For we're not serving ourselves, we're serving a kingdom. We're serving a God who is greater than all the battles we face. Praise the Lord. I want my wife to share for a few minutes some of the ministry that the Lord has given to her. And in this, it goes right along with this theme tonight, let courage rise with danger. Because this is an area in which the church is not addressing, neither here in the States nor there. But it's a great need. And it's a need that's going to bring healing. Healing, and has already, to many homes, to many marriages, praise the Lord, one in which, through the blood of the Lamb, will set people free.
Well, I always feel like I'm just, you know, back home again. Can everybody hear me? My voice is just kind of going down, so if you can't hear me, please give me a little bit more. Yeah. This guy here used to call the cows, you know, about 2 miles away. I couldn't even call my kids, you know, outside. My voice would screech anyway. And we are very weary, as Lee said. You know, mission work gets kind of, you see lots of people, and everybody seems to know who you are, and they expect you to know them by name. And I'm so glad we're just one big family, but, you know, I can't call you by name, most of you, but I always feel like it's more our family here, because Ruth and Robert have always been part of my family, I guess. And because you're all family, well, we're just family, right? Anyway, I do praise the Lord for the privilege of just being here with you and knowing that you are behind us with your prayers. We desperately need, in a greater way, your prayers. And I gave, you will notice, parents, your little kids have our picture. I did it for a certain reason. Because when children pray, they believe God. There's no other reason. I mean, God is God, isn't he? He's wonderful. And that's why I gave the cards to the young people and children, because I feel like sometimes God can speak to a child and their prayers are going to reach through way faster than us as grown-ups, because we have so many things that we have to take care of. But a child, they just say, Lord Jesus, please help the Rickenbacks tonight and watch over them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. They go to sleep and they expect God to do his work. But us as grown-ups, we just have to do God's work too, don't we? We don't let him take care of us. And somehow, God is teaching me a new lesson. He is my Father. And he's a loving heavenly Father, and he will take care of us, and he will help us. He will strengthen me. I do not feel very courageous as I stand before you tonight, because I'm going to tell you about my girls. Some of you have been following our story, and it is very difficult when you begin to work with people who have been very, very much abused. And you say, well, why are you so interested? Well, I have been just very blunt and very open. My family is behind me in this, because, you know, bad things do happen to good people, don't they? I, as a child, walk where my girls walk. And some people are like, oh, Sister Sherry, why are you saying this in a mixed congregation to children? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I had a young girl, probably 10 years old after a service, walk up to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, oh, thank you for what you said tonight. Because she said, all my friends at school, she said, I try to help. She said, just what you said, she said, I try to help them. I try to encourage them. A little 10-year-old. Recently, an evangelist said, incest is 50-50. The church and the world. We are in a very, very sad situation the world over. And you are the praying people. I need you. It's a very, very strong and hard battle. Because every time I stand in front of people, it's just, I feel a terrible resistance. I am taking territory from the enemy, but I will not quit. Because I want to tell there is freedom and there is healing.
Yes.
We do not have to continue to carry this heavy, heavy load. And when I go down and I talk with my girls, they come with stories that are so very, very heartbreaking. Four out of every six girls have been molested as children. 6 out of 10 boys. And this is just numbers that they've tried to bring out of people who have come. It's just, you know, it's not really a true figure. When you have families who live together in little houses, sometimes maybe they have 2 bedrooms, but most of the time it's 1 bedroom. And if they have 2 beds in that bedroom or 3 beds in that bedroom, that's really great. Aunts and uncles, there's grandpas and grandmas. The whole family is together. And it is very, very low morals. Guatemala is a beautiful country. It is so beautiful. The people are so friendly. You would never look on the outside and say, oh, Sister Sherry, why are you sharing this? Well, I'll tell you what. We live in a wicked world. The internet is down there. And parents are selling their little 11-year-old girls, 12-year-old girls as prostitutes because when that baby is born, they can sell it for $20,000. And you know who buys them? Gays and lesbians here in the United States and in Europe. The traffic in children is in the newspapers down there. I can no longer be silent. I suffer with my girls. It's just not, I mean, I can't stem the tide. I know I can't. But if I can help one of my girls, or 2 of them, or 3 of them, to where they will become spokesmen, to where they will reach down to those who are lower down and bring them up out of the pit, and then they will push them on up, and I can help keep pushing them up higher and higher, that is my greatest joy. When girls come to me and they suffer through memories that are too agonizing for me to tell you about, and they cry, I cry with them. We have prayer together, and then I see them walk out the door with a completely different step and a look on their face that says, I can make it another day. I can make it another 2 days. And maybe I don't see them again for, maybe 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. And they come back and they're saying, Sister Sherry, you know what I did? I met this girl, and she starts telling me all about her. And she said, I didn't know what else to tell her, so I just told her what you told me. And she said, and then you know what I found out? She had a friend too, and she went and told her the same thing. And you know what? I have to do this all in Spanish. I am learning a whole new vocabulary. I need your prayers so desperately. God has helped me to find books, and he's helped me to be able to absorb many, many things. And everything that the Lord is helping me with, when I sit down with one of those girls, I know that people here in the United States, somewhere, someone is being faithful and praying, because all of a sudden, my mind becomes very clear. It's just like words begin to flow, and I'm thinking, Father in heaven, what is this? This is not me. I cannot do this. I usually stumble greatly over the Spanish grammar, and I'm thinking, where are all these words coming from? But God, in His mercy, looks down at me, just this little vessel that is saying, Lord, I don't understand everything. I don't understand why all this in my past has brought me to this place. But He just says, Sherry, if it takes more crushing so that I can pour you out, I just want you. If He says my broken, crumbled heart and He's put me back together again, He's taken those crumbles and He's taking it now and He's feeding me out. He's moving through and using my life. And I just have to say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I don't understand the past. I don't understand. I have a loving Heavenly Father, and that is what I try to get across to my girls. God is not a God who delights in wickedness. And we can't understand why some things happen in life, but we have a loving Heavenly Father that somehow I have to help my girls to see, I know what you came out of, I know where you're at, but now this is what Jesus wants you to be. And it's only as you yield to Him, it's only as you just let go of the pain that is just so, it's like they feel like if I hang on to the pain, I'll keep the shield all around me so that nothing can penetrate, nothing more can hurt me. If I can be in control, then I'll never be out of control again because someone bigger than me overpowered me. But God in His mercy just helps them step by step to find out there is healing.
Yes.
It's not a nice process. You know, we come to the altar, we get saved, we come to the altar again, we get sanctified, and maybe we have to make several trips, you know, to get saved over and over again. Sometimes we wonder, you know, well, what in the world is wrong? I know something's wrong. I was saved. I know Jesus did something down in my heart, but I don't know why I feel this way. So we come and we think, well, now sanctification, that is going to take care of it. Let me tell you something. It doesn't. There is something when the emotions are so shattered apart inside that only as we bring it to Jesus and we tell Him all about it, and somehow He just, the Word becomes alive. He leads us step by step. He knows exactly how to lead us each one through a healing process. And it's only as we yield ourselves to Him. And somehow, God pours in something. And I will never forget the day when I realized I could have the virtue of Jesus.
Amen.
That was so healing to me.
That's right.
It took care of everything. And for me to be silent and not say, girls, Glendy, it's not just my girls. There are many, many men and boys who have suffered and suffered and suffered, and they don't know where to go. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to listen. You got to figure it out on your own. I'm here to tell you tonight, God knows how to heal. There's a hurting world out there. You're going to bring in some children for Vacation Bible School? I would guess that if you're bringing them from the world, you're going to have children who are a mess inside. Church, are you ready to help them? You know, it's as we work together, it's as we pray together. It's not easy to stand up in front of a crowd and say all these things. But in my 56 years, I have never, ever heard a minister. I have never had anybody approach me or like a women's group or anything to say, to address this subject. Not at all. So our church world has suffered, and we all know that this is true. We all know that there are families that this is affected. Nobody wants to touch it because it's not a nice subject. But the blessed Holy Spirit says there's healing, and if we as a body of Christ will cry out against the enemy of our souls and say, I'm going to help the one soul that God brings across my pathway, I am going to be that person that will stand in the gap. I am going to be that person that says, from this generation on, no more. It's going to stop. I have had so many young people, older people, who have come up to me after the services and said, thank you. I didn't have hope before. Now I do. We don't like to say these kind of things in a public situation, but I'm seeing more and more children, and the more and more I'm reading, there are so many children, 9 years old, 10 years old, who already have been on the internet, and they don't have to go out and play in the dirt. I don't need to be more plain. Parents, do you know what your children are doing? Do you know where they're at? When you go to camp meetings, do you know where your kids are? Because, you see, it isn't usually a stranger. It's usually someone that child knows. It's usually someone you know and that you would never suspect. The devil knows how to get us into positions, into situations where he can take advantage of us. And young people, especially you girls, you've got your wonderful little cell phones, and it's so fun to text. This is another thing that has really troubled me. More and more I'm finding out so many girls are already texting away your purity. You come to the marriage altar, you have nothing left to offer your husband, simply because your thoughts have already gone to somebody else. So many boyfriends constantly on that cell phone, constantly talking or texting. You know, there are so many things that us as parents, we don't even know what our kids are doing. Young people, if you are doing these things, I beg of you, if you have to, throw away that cell phone. Girls and boys, young men, be pure. Because purity is the most wonderful gift God has ever given to you. And when it's stolen, or when you give it away, it's only the blood of Jesus that can take care of it. It's only the blood of Jesus that can forgive. And I want to tell you, there's healing. My girls have suffered much, but Jesus is bringing healing. It doesn't matter if they're little girls or if they're girls, women in their 60s. I stood before a group of women, 50 women, and they told, I suppose, 35, no, probably more like 40 or more of them, probably 45 of them. They're pastors' wives, and they are Sunday school teachers. They are women. They were women in places in the churches. They have walked where I walked. I walked where they walked. And it was beautiful to see them reach out and realize Jesus can take care of how I feel that inside. Jesus can heal my broken,
yes,
broken heart. He can make the soul vibrate again. You know, I look at my girls, they have smiles on their faces, but their eyes are dead. It is so sad when you look at them and say, what? Lord, how can I help them? I can't. It's only as God opens the way, only as God begins to reveal himself to them, I have to stay in step. I have to be ready. I never know when those girls are going to knock on my door. It may be in a moment where I am so exhausted, or I am emotionally, I'm just like, I'm not on cloud nine. Perhaps I had a real battle. Perhaps I, well, I don't know. It just seems like they always arrive when I'm not feeling on top of the world. And at that moment, I'm just saying, dear Jesus, you know exactly how I'm feeling right now. Help me to lay aside how I'm feeling and focus on this need, this girl who is hurting so bad. I will tell you one story about Glendy. In the back of, on the picture board that we have, on the bottom picture, the girl in the on the right side in the black blouse, she was, her father died in a drunken brawl, and her mother was kicked out of the home. Her grandmother was raising her and her three siblings. She was absolutely a slave. There's no other way to say it. And at 12 years old, she was already saying, God, if you're a God, why do you let me live? I'm of no value. There is no reason for me to live. And she was absolutely so at the end of herself. She ran up the mountainside, was sitting on a rock. And as she was telling me her story, I was sitting with my arm around her on the end of my bed, because we were in our bedroom while we were working together. And we just finally sat down on the end of the bed. And she looked over at me and she said, Grandma, she calls me Grandma, all of a sudden there was this beautiful man sitting right beside me. And she said, he had his arm around me. She said, the way you're hugging me right now, she said, Grandma, that's just how it felt. And she said, that beautiful man, he said, Glendy, you are of value to me, and I love you. I was crying. She was crying. And I said, Glendy, do you know who that was? She goes, no. I said, Glendy, that was Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? 5 years ago, Jesus came to a little 12-year-old girl up on the mountains in Guatemala, all alone out there, revealed himself, let her know,
yes,
I care about you. A little girl who suffered so much that I can't even describe to you the awful things that that girl has gone through. But Jesus cared so much that he came and put his arm around her. She can't remember what his face looks like. Isn't that wonderful? She just was like, oh, this beautiful man. I'm not afraid of him. Who is this? And Jesus then allows me to put my arm around her, his hand extended again, and say, all right, Glendy, now this is the path we're going to walk. It's going to hurt you real bad, honey, because, you know, there's some things that need to be taken care of down inside. But she's just like, Grandma, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Well, you know, I can't tell her exactly, because I can't really see down inside her heart. I can't really know who Glendy is like the Holy Spirit can. But he's helping her, and he's leading her.
Yes.
She's a 17-year-old going through all the same kind of conflicts that you young people go through. Peer pressure is tremendous. And yes, in some ways, the reports I've heard, I'm kind of disappointed. But you know what? I have faith in a God who is great and wonderful, and a God who knows how to help Glendy, and I could give you a whole big long list of other girls that I've been working with. But I think I've told you enough to let you see down inside of me enough to say, are we going to be workers together? I need some of you to take my hand in prayer so that I can reach down, so that those girls can reach down and they can keep reaching down, and together we're going to push them up higher. They don't need to be on the streets. Because you know what? Most of my girls end up on the streets if somebody doesn't get to them in time. They're worthless. They grow up feeling totally worthless. So why wouldn't they be a prostitute? They don't have anything to offer. They have nothing. But Jesus, in his mercy, says, no, honey, I've got a bigger plan for you. So who knows what those girls will do? Who knows where they'll go? They may be some of our best missionaries that are sent over to another land. We don't know. But I know that I just want to be in the place and be God's vessel to say, no matter what the cost, Lord, I'm very thankful I have the support of my family, because it would be very difficult to be able to be open. But I've come to the place where I realize this sin that so permeates has got to stop. And as a church, it doesn't mean that your church is totally affected, but you know somebody or maybe you don't know that the situation exists, but I promise you, your life touches somebody who this has touched. And if we as a church don't say, together, we're going to face the enemy, together, we're going to help that young person, that older person, whoever it is, to realize there is healing, and there's healing through the blood of Jesus. I am so thankful that I have a Savior who cares.
Yes.
A Savior who cares not only about me, but every last one of you here, and of all my girls down there, and everyone that I'm working with. I need your prayers. And so, if you're interested, I know some of you have already signed up for our newsletter. If you are interested in being on part of the list for a special prayer support for this ministry, if you'll just put a little star beside your name, then I will put you on two different lists for our newsletter and also on the prayer support list, because there are so many times when I just feel like I need special prayer as I'm helping someone. Or, you know, I probably won't necessarily even tell you the situation. I may not even be able to tell you that girl's name. But if I send an SOS to you email, I need your prayers. And if you want to be part of this, then just put a little star beside your name, and I know that that means that you want to be part of the group. I thank God for the 50 more people that have signed up for this, and I'm very thankful for the support of my husband, because if I didn't have a loving husband who's helped me travel a very, very rough road and helped me clear the pathway in such a way that I am not afraid to say, girls, come on, this is the way. And maybe she has to go a little bit different pathway, but I can say, honey, come on, you're making it. And if I didn't have a husband behind me and right with me, I'd never be able to do it. God is good. He does all things well, and I love him.
An old Bible school teacher mentioned to his former student after hearing that young man preach for the first time, he said, "Are you a little Goddard or are you a big Goddard?" And the young man looked at his former teacher and said, "What do you mean?" "Well, there are some people that preach about a big God, and there's other people preach a little God. But I believe you preach a big God." I trust we're big Goddards. People that believe in a big God. A God who is incredibly able to not only help you in your need, but the need of the society that you live in. Praise God. And He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, remember these very important needs, these ministries. I trust you'll use these cards to pray for us. And I would leave with you one other prayer request beside this very important one of my wife and our ministry together helping these ladies. And that is that we are facing right at this time, best way to say it, the reemergence of a figure who has been a leader in our church, who has been a former chief of police of all of Guatemala. And there is just evidence after evidence after evidence of the corruption in this man's life. Tried to kill our former national president 3 times. Never got the job done, because when it's our time to go, that's in God's hands. Claims to have gotten back to God. Claims now that he is free from any indictment from the government, had been in hiding for over a year now. Just about a year. Now is walking the streets of Jalapa again. Would you pray that God would save this man? He has endeavored to do everything he can, and with his ties and his influence, to shut down a number of ministries there in Guatemala. So these are very important prayer requests. But once again, let courage rise with danger. Joshua, got a big job ahead. But I have promised that I will go with you. Praise the Lord. God gave the victory. Thank the Lord. And God is giving the victory tonight. Bless His precious name. I believe we'll stand and sing that chorus, "There's no God compared to Thee, O God." And then turn the service back to Brother Zeke. There's no God compared to Thee, O God. No, not one. No, not one. There's no God compared to Thee, O God. No, not one. No, not one. Only God can manifest the power. Thine can set the sinner free. Only God can manifest the power. Thine can set the sinner free. It's not by armies, nor by the works of men, but by the blessed Holy Ghost. It's not by armies, nor by the works of men, but by the blessed Holy Ghost. And all these mountains shall be removed, and all these mountains shall be removed, and all these mountains shall be removed by the blessed Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you for your attention and for this privilege being with you, Brother Zeke.
Thank you, Brother and Sister Rickenbach, for being here this evening. Certainly enjoyed hearing their words tonight. I don't know about you, but it spoke to me. And I want to do my part to pray for them and in their work. Amen. Trust the Lord will bless them, pour out abundantly upon them. Amen. Come to you for the offering. This offering does go to them. And you can make a check out to the church, and then we'll transfer it all over to them. So, ushers, if you'll come, receive the offering tonight. Lord bless you in your giving. for the offering tonight. Thank you for the beautiful offertory as well. Amen. I'm sure that they'd be willing to answer questions. Stop by and talk to them there at the table after the service. And again, thank you so much, Brother and Sister Rickenbach, for being with us. Enjoyed the service tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Trust each one of you have a good week. God's blessings go with you through the week. Lord willing, we'll see you on Wednesday evening for our midweek service. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask my dad, if he would, to dismiss us in prayer tonight.